This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Wednesday, January 3rd, the Fantasy Footballers back with you. Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway. We have Al Borland, Judge Giamatti, and the Rapscallion in Deucer's Alley this morning. We welcome you all in. Kind of an exhale for most of you as the season concludes, as the stat corrections finalize this morning.
Hope you didn't lose your championship, but I hope you accidentally won one.
Yeah, it settled at least one of our leagues that was very close, a 0.3, I think, victory.
Yep.
And congrats to all the winners out there. Saw many of you picking up Foot Clan title T-shirts at shotballers.com.
Let them know.
And currently the retro T-shirt is winning the day. So we have our traditional, and then we released a retro, and there are more
people
going.
Which one do you like better?
I mean, I got one of each.
Do you?
And we welcome you in. We've got, yesterday we covered a lot of the studs. We celebrated with you, talked about some of the big performances over the final 3 weeks, went through the league winners. And today we're going to jump into a quick question here regarding the duds, the players let you down. Which week 17 duds are you most concerned about going into the future? Because there are some names that have been synonymous with fantasy football victories and domination for a very long time. I would say some of these guys, the majority of the time we've done this podcast, which we're wrapping up season 9, but these guys have led the way, and now you are left wondering. So, Jason, who's at the top of that list for you?
Yeah, for me, this guy hasn't necessarily led the way. He doesn't qualify as what you just described, but he was a young, exciting prospect that I think everyone was expecting a massive fantasy career. Got injured, came back this year, and I'm talking about Javonte Williams, who's still only 23.7 years old. He is young enough to be successful in the future, and the injury he had was basically like a 2-year timeline. If you remember this last offseason, we didn't want to draft him anywhere. We were kind of universally out on Javonte. I'm happy because that worked out this season. But that was the expectation, was like he won't get back to full strength until the following season. We didn't even think he would start the year. We thought he'd be on the pup, and then he's in preseason game one. The problem, and the reason that I'm really fearful about Javonte, is because this offense gave him all the opportunity this year. They gave him so much work. So far, he's already got over 200 carries, 40 receptions.
257 total opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, he's up there, and he has wholly disappointed not just fantasy managers, but probably the Denver Broncos. And I don't think that they can go, well, next year he'll be healthier. They've got to they got to address their running back room. They don't have what they want. Sean Payton has always had a successful running back room that sets up his pass. I mean, the entire season, 3.6 a carry, and almost every single game, just ineffective. Two rushing touchdowns on the season with the amount of opportunities he has. So the way
five top 24 performances in 17 weeks.
He's just been straight up bad. And I don't blame him coming off of that injury. In fact, it's impressive. He got back and he played, you know, all but one games this year. All but one game? Would that be?
it would be. Don't worry about it.
We tilted our heads.
Power
and
through.
On.
Yeah. So I guess I just worry he's going to be replaced this year. They're going to bring someone in, either a big name or a high draft capital running back, and we won't have the opportunity to see year two still young Javonte recovered from that injury. So I, you know, if I have him.
Well,
I don't know that you can get much for him right now. I don't know that people are buying Javonte's outlook.
He's a worthy, I mean, a big discussion in general. In one part, because there was a time in the dynasty landscape where Javonte Williams was nearly untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
We knew that the future for Javonte Williams was all but guaranteed as bright. But one catastrophic injury and, you know, some changes in the offense, it just changes the outlook. Like, adjusted expectations has to be the beginning of the Javonte story. Jaleel McLaughlin, if you watch this team during the year, a lot more juice.
Oh, yeah.
Than Javonte. Javonte was a kind of plodding, adequate running back. And there will be those that I think want to take a chance on him next year. But, look, Jarrett Stidham could be the starting quarterback of this team. It's not going to be Russell Wilson.
And they can't afford to go out and get a Kirk Cousins or something because of Russell Wilson's contract. They're going to be taking a ton of dead cap on. So this is an offense that's going to have to kind of scrape together pieces next year. So maybe what that says, maybe that's positive for Javonte. Maybe it's like, well, we don't have the money and the draft capital to put more into the running back room, and we'll have to rely on Javonte again. If he comes back as the clear-cut starter next year, I think I'll probably be in because of that two-year timeline that and his youth. It would be hard for me to imagine. I mean, this team went out and signed Samaje Perine right off the bat. They care about the running back core for this scheme. And if I'm the general manager, I don't know that I could rely on and say we're good here with what you saw out of Javonte this season.
Perine is under contract next year. He's at a 4.5 mil cap number. Dead cap, should they choose to move on, would be 1.5. So, I mean, it seems like he should be there. But I'm with you, Jason, of the concern of, like, you know, long-term dynasty. I got Javonte chilling there. That free agency period and the draft are both going to be, you know, like, you're going to hold your breath of just waiting for the Javonte replacement to come in. Because there's no way that Sean Payton's looking at that going, yeah, that's next year. This is what we need to turn this into a winning football team.
And historically, Sean Payton utilizes multiple backs.
Yeah.
So you're going to have, like, the opportunity for Javonte to deliver on his original promise, which would be workhorse back, 4.5 a carry, explosive plays. I think we can put it to bed.
Yeah, because even if he is the primary guy next year, I think they'll bring someone in for a timeshare.
Well, the two names I'll throw out there at running back, I mean, it's not a surprise, but Austin Ekeler, Derrick Henry, aging, declining powerhouse names. So Ekeler, 28.6 years old, free agent. Derrick Henry, about to turn 30, a free agent. Derrick Henry's still the RB8 this year.
His season
I looked at it because I expected
insane.
To see a worse number.
No,
but,
it's insane.
And he benefits from being, like, if you put him on a winner next year, I think there will be draft hype around Derrick Henry, Baltimore, right? If he goes to Baltimore or something. But both of these guys are potentially in the Dalvin Cook trajectory, right? You shift teams and you're not necessarily handed the keys to a backfield and you're older, less efficient, less effective. And, you know, I don't know if you can overcome those narratives in a dynasty league either, where you're trying to, you know, how do you move on from these guys without saying I'm desperate to move on from these guys? Right? And if it were me, like if I'm in that boat and I'm saying, hey, I need to move on from Henry or Eckler. Mike, you've got Henry in Dynasty.
I do.
That has to be part of a bigger trade to me. Because if the trade is just I'm trying to get rid of Derrick Henry, it's like holding up a big sign.
Yeah.
And if you work him into a bigger deal, then maybe that name starts to pay dividends for you. That's how I would approach it. But, you know, there's a really, really slim list of age 30-plus running backs that have been relevant for fantasy. And, you know, Mark Ingram was one of them at age 30, AP, this past year, Raheem Mostert.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I am more concerned with Eckler than I am with Henry for next season, though.
I am as well. I think Henry will get a job. He still looked good this year. It was tough sledding behind a bad offensive line on a bad team where you're losing a lot. That's just not you saw the games where they were winning and they were ahead. Like they could do great things with Derrick Henry, and he was very effective. Eckler over the over the last 7 weeks, you know, he's on pace for 262 opportunities during that time, and he would have a total of 690 rushing yards on a 17-game pace.
My concern with him is just the viewpoint of all teams looking for a free agent.
Exactly.
Where it's just, you know, I was trying to see how old Steven Jackson was when he had his kind of final decent years.
The Falcons years?
Yeah, I guess I was just curious how old he was during those. Maybe, Kyle, you can figure that out. But, you know, that's how I look at Derrick Henry. Like, Derrick Henry can come into a place, maybe get 200 carries, first and second down, not a third down back, manage his workload, go to Baltimore, go to a team that's winning ball games. Because when Tennessee had any chance of winning a ball game this year, he was great. When they had any opportunity to, you know, be within a touchdown, he was great.
Steven Jackson went to Atlanta at age 30.
And it wasn't...
It wasn't good.
Very special there,
no,
right?
No.
Yeah, so those two players are obviously on the radar. They both dudded out in the final week of the year. And, Mike, you've got the name,
sure.
Maybe.
I want to talk about Stephon Diggs and the insanity that was the year of Stephon Diggs, because essentially
it's like he powered down.
Like through week 9, I don't have what he was in wide receiver terms, but just the consensus thought of Stephon Diggs is he is wide receiver three. Okay, wide receiver three, averaging almost 18 points a game, 93 yards, almost a full touchdown per game. Stephon Diggs was a locked-in top five wide receiver. And then a blip happened in week 10, and you went, oh, that's weird. The Denver Broncos, okay, maybe, Sertan, I don't know. Then he gets the Jets. Like, well, that's a tough secondary. Maybe he'll bounce back. No, he did not. He did not. What?
Mike, since week 10?
Yeah.
Do you know what wide receiver number he is?
The number I... Oh, no. 55!
He's the wide receiver 55.
From weeks 10 through 17, he had one double-digit game, and the rest of them are under 7 points.
Yeah, his average is 6.8.
Barf! there was a very noticeable change. I mean, they fired their offensive coordinator, they switched play callers, all that stuff. But how does the star of your team, the not Josh Allen star of your team, vanish into absolute thin air? And if you've been with football for any amount of time, you'll know that Stephon Diggs is a very passionate man. Yeah. When it comes to all things.
I'm honestly shocked I haven't heard more from him in the recent weeks. Shocked.
Yeah, I think that
it's tough because they've been winning.
Yeah. We will hear from Stephon Diggs.
You want to hear? Here's something fun. Yeah, I won't click the play a game button, but more productive fantasy receiver since week 10. Ready?
Okay.
Quentin Johnston?
Oh, no.
Or Stephon Diggs?
No, you got cuged.
He got cuged.
Oh, that's gross. Barf.
Quentin Johnston was wide receiver 50 in that span. Stephon Diggs, 55.
Wow.
See,
he got dorched, he got cuged.
And here's the thing.
Tank Dell was better in that span, and he missed all that time.
It was
barf.
Seven games. Like, that's in a football season, that's not just like, oh, you know, he's had a rough patch. That's almost half of his fantasy games.
And they went 5-2 during those games. Like, this is the script that is winning for them when they were on the outside of the playoffs and had to fire their offensive coordinator. They're like, this isn't working. And yeah, Diggs was great. So
he's 30. He still has a bunch more years and a bunch more guaranteed money. But what is going to happen? Because this will be, if Buffalo wins the Super Bowl, I imagine we won't hear anything. It'll be Stephon Diggs talking to the team of like, if I'm going to be here, you're going to give me the ball. Like, that'll be the behind-the-scenes conversation.
If they win the Super Bowl, he will have done something over the playoffs as well.
You would think, but they're...
Yeah,
they're,
to be fair, he hasn't done something over this four-game winning streak.
They beat Dallas, and his production was 4-48. Kansas City with 4-24.
Last year, Hollywood Brown, before he got injured, was a top 10 wide receiver in fantasy in Arizona. They close the year out, no Kyler. They come in with a new offensive coordinator, and Hollywood Brown's irrelevant all year. It feels a little bit like you just turned off the Diggs dependency software. And that's really what's happened. I mean, they have been willing to – Dalton Kincaid's – he had a pretty big game last week. His presence, the return of Dawson Knox, Gabe Davis, the dependency on the run. Like, they did make a decision that we're not just going to chuck the ball downfield to Diggs over and over and over again.
So, what, thinking long term, because the outcomes are so large to me of this Stephon Diggs, they could patch things up and then things are perfectly fine with the Buffalo Bills. They owe him a bunch of money. He still remains their number one wide receiver. Or you play the game of careful what you wish for, Stephon Diggs. Fine, we're going to trade you. I can't imagine he has a no trade clause or anything like that.
I think his contract makes it almost impossible for them to trade him from what I had seen.
But you, what do they do?
Here's a glass half full approach. And by the way, I think everybody that was let down by Diggs over the last handful of weeks was thrilled to hear that entire diatribe because, you know, we understand.
Yeah.
And you got...
Because at that, how do you stop playing Stephon Diggs?
It's him and Kelsey.
The wide receiver three over the first half
those
of the
season. The worst type of situations to find yourself in because you're never going to... I mean, we were here on the show. I will openly admit it. We did not say bench Stephon Diggs. It was like...
No, it was... He'll figure it out.
It's pretty much that... it's the tattoo that fantasy players have. Like, you got to start Stephon Diggs. Like, you just have to do that. But he let you down, as Kelsey did. Kelsey was stuck in your lineup.
Yeah. Kelsey, Eckler, and Diggs, those are the three vets that started strong. And that means you couldn't move on.
At 30 years old, I don't think Stephon Diggs settles for an outcome where he's not getting the ball. So whether he fixes that outcome in Buffalo or he chooses that volume on another roster by some means of renegotiation of contract and cut and
trade.
That's
what I mean, of careful what you wish for.
I think he gets target someplace.
But they could be Bryce Young targets.
Yes.
The first,
like, they could banish him to the Carolina Panthers or something.
The first 9 weeks, he was just over 30% target share for this team. Since week 10, that awful stretch where he's wide receiver 55, just under 30% target share. It's not a huge difference. It's a shift in what this team does.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
I don't see it changing.
Then Stephon Diggs has to become a different person that would accept that. And I'm with Mike. We'll hear from Stephon Diggs if this full.
He's waiting for a failure.
Come on,
let's lose. I got some stuff to talk about.
Can you put prop bets on tweets from Diggs when they're eliminated from the playoffs? We will see it for sure.
Or they don't make the playoffs.
This week? Yeah, I think they're making the playoffs.
Yeah, they should, but I'm saying. That collapse, oh, goodness gracious.
Oh, if they don't.
Get the popcorn.
He will predict no signs of Buffalo Bills on his social profiles within 24 hours of their elimination this year if it's not a Super Bowl title, if we know Stephon Diggs at all. All right, let's talk a little bit of news.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
Well, the Jets have accepted reality in the terms given by Dalvin Cook, who asked to be released. He was released.
Mm-hmm.
He wants the opportunity to go sign someplace. I think he gave up money to be released.
Because he was on a guaranteed money per game scenario. So he's hoping that a team that's going to be in the playoffs will hope that want his services.
It is worth saying, I mean, it was a complete crash and burn for Dalvin Cook. I mean, from the jump, right? We had optimism. Rodgers wanted him there. Rodgers is gone. But I do want to remind people, Breece Hall could not run in this offense.
Mm-hmm.
So Dalvin Cook certainly was not going to be able to. So I don't know if that means Dalvin Cook has anything left. I'm sure he's got Fournette-level stuff left, so maybe a roster adds him.
I think he's got a little bit left, and the rumor is that the Dolphins have made a contract offer. They obviously did prior. They did, you know, before he signed with the Jets, but that's the team that he's most linked to going forward.
Trevor Lawrence, day-to-day, expects to practice, feeling better. We'll see. Also, Jacksonville opened up the 21-day window for Christian Kirk to return. The team is much better with Christian Kirk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Noah Brown didn't practice on Tuesday. A bunch of guys didn't practice for the Texans. If you saw that practice report, it was like all their starters.
And this is a super important game. We're going to get into all the playoff implications, but that basically the Texans did make the playoffs because it starts this week.
And then
sure,
what I think is very valuable information when you look at the long-term decisions you have to make in keeper leagues and potential outcomes for Trey McBride, all of those things. Jonathan Gannon was on local radio here in Arizona yesterday. He was kind of asked, you know, who's the quarterback for the future? And he was over the top in his assurance that there is no doubt that number Kyler Murray is their franchise quarterback. They asked, is there any doubt in your mind whether who will be your quarterback for next season? He said, no, there is no doubt. Number one is our franchise quarterback. That backs up everything Arizona has done, despite speculation around Kyler. And they also have the fourth pick now.
Yeah, and the quotes, even though they're as clear as it gets, that there's, you know, there's no doubt that Kyler's our guy. Number one is our quarterback. He's our franchise quarterback. If you listen to it, it's even more affirming. The laughter that he gives when asked the question is like genuine, like what are you talking about? We already have our quarterback. So that's it was surprising to me that there was no question. Now, granted, this is the head coach. That's not Monty Austin Fourth, the GM. Maybe they do some scouting in the offseason based on where their pick is and something changes. But right now, it you have to put it at 90% that Kyler's the quarterback.
And if Arizona loses this week and New England beats the Jets, which I believe that game line is very, very close, and I think I took New England in that game, Arizona would be in a position to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. You look at potential dynasty quarterback buys, Kyler might join that list.
He might, yeah.
They have two first-round picks. One of those is going to be an offensive player to help your team. And they're also linked to some significant free agent defensive players in Arizona, like Chris Jones. So there is an opportunity for this team to improve. You saw them against Philly. They look good. They have played hard this year. They just don't have personnel. So Kyler Murray, a down year coming back from injury. We have to remember there's going to be – I don't think we let him off the hook at all this year. I'll put it that way.
I agree.
I don't think – you know, no Hollywood Brown, basically. No receiving options. Terrible personnel all around him, coming back from an ACL tear, and I don't think we let him off the hook very much. Next year could be a much better year for Kyler, especially if you add someone like Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers. So just throwing that out there for thoughts. We have an offseason to debate it.
Yeah, I think it's a good point of to get maximum return, you have to take on risk. And I think that the Kyler Murray perceived risk is like the perception of it, I think, is larger than it actually is. And Kyler Murray, when things are rolling, has been a good fantasy quarterback, a great fantasy quarterback. So if you are in a, you know, single QB and you've been struggling in Dynasty or something, you could probably get him for far cheaper than like the day the draft is over. Mm-hmm. That or even round the day that that pick five is done, Kyler Murray's value will either skyrocket or plummet, and I think that it will go up.
I would do it right now if you're in a dynasty
right.
league.
That's
like,
what I'm saying.
This is the moment. The championship's over. Kyler had a disappointing season. We're not sure he's got a job. You go trade for him now, and single quarterbacks and super flex. He's sure. even more valuable there.
Also, we mentioned it yesterday, Sean McVay will continue coaching in 2024.
That's
this
great.
Is very important for your Puka mm-hmm. centerpiece type of
Kyren.
Discussions. Yeah, Kyren, for sure. Yeah, that's the tough
Kyren's
one.
Kyren's the big one.
Different head coach views a fifth-round pick differently. Both those guys are fifth-round picks, and you want the same system.
It's crazy how high those two players are going to be drafted next year for waiver wire
yep.
fodder, last-round type of picks. Next year, they're going to be in the first and second round.
Yeah, seems right.
All right, that was today's news and notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance. We're going to take a quick break and come back with our Week 18 playoff primer. Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app, and replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners. to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
All right, we are jumping in. We wanted to break down the playoff motivation levels, go through all the teams this week. I mean, from a NFL fan perspective, there's a lot at stake this weekend. And if you're in a Week 18 league, we are going to help you there too.
Playoff primer.
Gentlemen, let's talk about some teams that have clinched and have little or nothing to gain. So that's the AFC teams. The Ravens are the number one seed. The Chiefs are locked at 3, and the Browns are locked at 5. How much do you expect to
see?
How much do you expect to see these guys?
I expect to see very little of the Ravens. They are locked up. I honestly, I don't expect to see a full game from any of these teams, right? I mean, why would you put your players out there for 60 minutes of injury potential when it will not have an effect? Give them health. Give them rest. It's kind of what you see every year now.
So, yeah, I mean, I think last we had heard Harbaugh had not decided about Lamar, but if he does decide, I guess it'll be a half or something.
A half. I think it'll be just a couple drives.
Yeah, you could be right, and then we'll be Tyler Huntley. The 49ers are locked as well on the NFC side, and that's at the number one seed.
Debo was on Kay Adams' show talking about, do you expect to play? Do you want to play? And he said, yeah, but it was also clear that it won't be the entire game.
Food for thought. Would Would it be realistic that Harbaugh's a great coach, and you know, these really good coaches, they're in tune with the players. They want to set them up for success. Lamar is really close to getting an MVP.
Right.
So could Harbaugh, you know, play?
Can anyone actually take it from him?
I'm just saying, if he sits Lamar, does that hurt his ability to win the MVP?
I don't think so. I think it's done. Let's see. Kyle's saying he's minus 20,000.
Okay, well then sit Lamar Jackson.
It is worth bringing up. But
wait a minute, is that right? Is that real?
That's what Kyle.
He's minus 20. Well,
think
about
nothing
can happen this week for any team that will change the scenario, because all of the good players that would be in the running have already. They might be sitting as well. Like Brock Purdy was in the early contention. He's not going to be playing. So. Wow. I mean, unless you think Dak's going to throw over about 13 touchdowns this week,
well, that's
winning the division.
That's what I thought. Is like, what if Dak balls out?
But he can't take the number one seed, and I think that matters. Yeah. I think it's the fact the Ravens have it locked.
Crazy.
Minus 20,000 says.
So that means, just so if people aren't familiar, and correct me if I'm wrong, that means if I were to bet $20,000 and win, I would get $100.
I believe that is correct.
You going to do it?
I'm thinking about it.
That's the risk reward that I like.
I mean, goodness gracious.
Nothing to gain, everything to lose.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be the worst feeling ever, if you know.
Yeah. Just take a flat gimme and whoa.
Well, I am seeing there's places you can get him for like minus 6,000. Jay, if you want in on that.
I'm gonna still avoid that. I would look more at whatever that means for Dak's upside.
Yeah, what do we have on the DraftKings Sportsbook? 20,000 for Lamar. The next highest Dak, the next highest Purdy, the next highest Josh Allen.
It is done.
And the Rams can move between the number 6 and 7 seed. I don't know how much that's going to change the way that they utilize their players.
It is interesting. The 49ers are favored by 3.5 still against the Rams. And the 49ers have nothing to play for.
I think that's because they're anticipating that Sean McVay will also...
He'll also sit people?
Be willing to sit people.
Yeah, I guess.
And I don't know
six
what
and seven.
Kyle, do you know what would define the 6 and 7 movement? Because perhaps that is unlikely for them to move to 7 based on the game lines that would make that happen. And McVay's sat people in the past, he's played them in the past. You know, I don't know how much Cooper Kupp you see this week with how he's been banged up. So that's kind of those are the clinched or little or nothing to gain scenarios. So to me, that Vegas line says that they believe both teams aren't really going to be doing a lot, and then they give Arizona or San Francisco the nod.
So for fantasy purposes here, we talked about the Ravens, Chiefs, Browns, 49ers, and Rams. Are you confidently able to start any of the, like Kyren Williams?
Elijah Mitchell, yes.
Yeah, for sure. Elijah Mitchell, yes. When a backup gets to be thrust into a great position, he's wonderful. But from those teams, is there – like Kyren and Puka, how do you not play them? But
yeah, I mean, I'd be trying to move away from them.
Yeah,
into a new league that doesn't play this week.
So I'm looking at it. It seems like if the Rams lose and Green Bay wins, am I right on that, Kyle?
They slip to the 7.
Yeah, they'll go 7.
Which, I mean, that's not a guarantee for sure. I mean, the Bears have been playing great. Teams fighting for playoff seeding, division titles in the AFC, Jacksonville.
This is what we want.
Jacksonville plays Tennessee. So is this correct? They become AFC South champs and the 4 seed with a win over Tennessee.
Yes.
So they are highly motivated.
Yeah, get that home game a winnable matchup.
Or leave the playoffs because they are eliminated with a loss.
Yeah, that's what you want. Same with the Bills. The Bills are battling for the AFC East title. They can fall from the 2 to a 6 seed. The Dolphins can, and the Bills can be eliminated with a loss depending on other outcomes. So the Bills are playing for their lives, and then
2 to 6, that's
big for the Dolphins.
You play your starters. Like you play to win.
Yeah, these are two playoff type matchups where
it's in Miami as well.
More so the Bills Dolphins game is more playoff like than because Tennessee is not really playing for much other than to play spoiler. But, yeah, you want players in these games.
The Cowboys on the NFC side can secure the NFC East title with a win. So the Cardinals doing the Cowboys favors last week.
After the Cardinals did the Cowboys no favors and beat them. I guess having a coach that was in that division makes a difference.
It does, except for when you play the Manders.
Yeah, the Eagles can get the number two seed if they win and the Cowboys lose. And they play New York.
Yeah, and both Dallas and Philly games are in the later window, so they won't necessarily know, at least until towards the end of a game, whether they need a win or not.
The Lions, currently the number three seed, can move to the number two with a win and losses by the Eagles and Cowboys, which that's
seems
long
unlikely.
Odds. Unlikely. So he will be playing as starters. Dan Campbell came out and said that. Did you guys see the memo?
Low T.
Did you see the memo that the league put out regarding eligible
I did,
receivers?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. No.
It actually, it kind of persuaded me that the referees were in the right in that game.
Really? What did it say? It said,
well, I mean, because
the guy shouted he's eligible from super far away.
No, I mean it. If you go and you watch what transpired, number 70 ran in on the field, and you know the referee actually announced number 70 at the game over the loudspeaker. You can hear it, and then number 70 was covered up. Which, when you cover up the eligible receiver on the end of the line, that makes it an illegal formation, which is the penalty, which was one of the penalties called on that, along with illegal touching on 68. And the league sent out this memo, and it spells it all out, like it shows every angle of it. Like, it, I don't know.
I mean, you could argue that it
was pretty obvious to me.
You could argue that if the Lions were paying attention, listened to the incorrect eligibility call, that they should have.
Which is the rule. The rule is what the players call out, you have to go with that. What the referees call out, you have to go with that.
Right, but that's the mistake, right? Is that he called out the wrong number.
Debatable, yeah.
Yeah, allegedly.
Debatable.
Sure.
I mean, it's hard because 70 was running in on the field and yelling at the referee at the same time. Yeah, 68 was walking over.
They were intentionally, like, it was smart of the trying to confuse the other team of having multiple people over by the ref of it's not just the one player walking over saying, I'm eligible. Okay, we'll key in on him. But then you end up confusing the refs with your confusion tactics.
But I mean, look, if you listen to Dan Campbell, he's moved on. He said, you know, like, we don't sit and we don't wallow in that. Nobody else is going to do it. We're going to go play hard. We're going to win. So he says he's going to play his players.
That's great.
And then, you have teams fighting for playoff spots that we're going to lay out for you as well. Texans versus the Colts. The winner of the game is in the playoffs. The loser is eliminated.
Yeah, this is a playoff game. That's what I was saying earlier. Like, there's no game I want players in more than the Texans-Colts. This is legit.
And that's Saturday evening.
Identical to a playoff game.
Yeah, and it's even close to a toss-up from a game line perspective. Steelers, they have to win and have either the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Bills lose. That's...
Oh, man.
Not likely, but Tomlin is magical. I don't think it can happen. I just don't think Jacksonville is going to lose to Tennessee.
That's the one I think. I mean,
I don't think Buffalo is going to lose to Miami either. Because
I don't think so.
They're not going to have Waddle and that offense, and we'll see. You're right. It could happen. Either way, he's got a winning record. They're going to win because they're playing Baltimore.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's favored. So if there's any question of like, oh, Harbaugh hasn't decided what he's going to do, yes, he has. Pittsburgh's favored.
And then the Buccaneers on the NFC side, if they win at Carolina, they're the number four seed in the NFC South champions. They are eliminated if they lose that ball game.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I did have a dream last night.
Oh, okay.
That Bryce Young was eviscerating some sort of defense.
Wow.
He was just dot after dot after dot.
People might have to play Bryce Young this week against that matchup, considering all the quarterbacks that will be benched.
It will be the first time this year, probably. The Falcons-Saints game, if the Bucs happen to lose, the winner of the Falcons-Saints ends up NFC South champions. Are those games at the same time? Is the Atlanta? Yeah, they are. They are at the same time.
The league's pretty good about
that. So they will be playing that game with all their heart and all their soul. And probably for nothing.
Well, yeah, three teams are really truly playing for the division title in their minds.
We need the Bucks or the Saints to do this. We cannot let Arthur into the playoffs at 8-9. That's a travesty.
I saw a tweet this morning from Chris Harris that mentioned the Falcons with a top 10 pick are going to have an opportunity to do something very funny, which is to draft Brock Bowers. because Brock Bowers, tight end from Georgia, probably going to be one of the higher drafted tight ends in history.
Oh, goodness.
And I was like, that's a funny idea. Four straight offensive players. He could be the tight end three on the Falcons behind Pitts and Jonnu.
I hear he's a good blocker.
Oh, gosh. And then the Packers, if they win, they're in. They play Chicago, though. They are favored. But Chicago's been on fire. And Chicago would love.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing more.
Oh, yeah. That's the rivalry. I have learned this from Owl, Mr. Packerman, that the rivalry within that division is purely the Bears-Packers. That's the hatred between them. So the Bears are definitely going to come to play.
Yeah, didn't the Fields Packers playing for get eliminated John. Last year by the Detroit Lions in the final game of the year? I believe that is what happened.
Yeah,
I'm looking
right.
over
yeah.
at Al. Al, can you confirm that for me, friend?
I cannot. I don't know for sure.
That sounds right to me.
They have a chance to get bounced in the last game of the year twice.
I hope that the Packers make the playoffs just because Aaron Rodgers couldn't do it in a full season last year. And if Jordan Love does it in his first full season, I like that chaos.
Seattle, very motivated. They have to beat Arizona, but then the Packers, if they lose to the Bears, Seattle's in. And then the Vikings need to win and have lots of other help. And they play Detroit, and Detroit's playing their starter, so.
It's not. It's for the Minnesota.
Minnesota later.
Minnesota is my number two team. I love the Vikings. You need to lose this game. You need to not make the playoffs. They are not going to get through, and you are just sacrificing a large draft pick swap.
Detroit knocked out the Packers in the final game last year.
Yeah.
So another divisional chance for Justin Fields and company. And I think Chicago wins the game.
Nice.
So I think Seattle makes the playoffs.
Well, this is super important. If you're playing this week, if your championship is in week 18, everything we just said is super important because there's going to be – motivation means everything in week 18. Obviously, we went through that pretty quick. There's a great article we have on the website, fantasyfootballers.com, just written up by Matthew Betts. Just goes team by team. So you can reference it as you're making your start-sit decisions, as you're looking at waiver pickups. It's exceptionally important in week 18.
All right, we got some mailbag to jump into, Brooksy.
Let's do it.
Mailbag.
Mailbag.
Yeah.
Championship.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to tell you. You're looking great, champ.
Yeah, you're looking nice, champ.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Jason, lower your chair even more. I don't want to see you. I don't want to see you at
this
all.
This is a champs only table.
Oh, man. You guys are the worst.
You got a long time to deal with this.
Yeah, I know.
Just 364 more, Jay.
Oh, man.
All right. The first question from Holden on the website. Now that the offseason for you guys is starting up, what is something you look forward to? Is it family time, vacation, hobbies? I've always wondered.
Sure. It's a good question. The off season, there are definitely fewer episodes of the Fantasy Footballers podcast, but there are still plenty of recordings and things and working on the Dynasty Pass. I'm super excited to jump into that. We're in prospect season. That's kind of the big work project. But then,
The UDK starts pre-selling on Super Bowl Sunday, and the Dynasty Pass is available instantly. So we jump in there for sure. We're two shows a week on the main pod.
Hobbies is I always pretend I'm going to do something real big.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, the off season's here. What's my project this off season?
Yeah.
And then I'll take some naps.
Very nice.
I'll play some pickleball, and then the season will start, and I'll go, dang it! I did it again!
I didn't build that.
Yeah, I didn't build a treehouse.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to cruises. That's what I
like
to do.
So you're looking for vacations.
Yeah, I want vacations. But yeah, I mean, seriously, I am really excited to start prospect scouting here soon.
Felicia Johnson on IG says, what did y'all think of the college football playoff games? Who's going to win the championship? Both games were incredible.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of big Phoenix energy.
Yeah, that's right. You just hear that first?
No, I did. No, okay. I saw it. I saw it. That was incredible.
But, you know, the Michigan game is the one I watched more of.
It's going to be nonstop in the NFL.
Oh, no. Oh, no. We're going to have to say Phoenix?
Yeah.
All the time?
Yeah. I've put a...
Phoenix mightier?
I've got like the chart, you know, of who screws it up first.
Oh, for yeah.
On the air? Yeah, so we'll put a pool together. Because it's going to happen.
Oh, for sure. But it's...
Or you just say it normal and then we think you didn't.
Yeah.
That's the...
I won't ever say it.
Yeah, you'd be like, Michael.
Yeah.
So that quarterback, Michael.
Yeah, Mike Pete.
But the games are great. I mean, I don't know how you don't pick Michigan. But.
The Michigan game was the one I watched more of, and I couldn't help, even when things were going their way at the end, I was like, Alabama's going to find a way to win it. They always do. So it was exciting. Did you see John Harbaugh's parents, the interview?
Mm-mm.
I did not.
Oh, my gosh. You have to go look that up. It's so funny. I mean, they are old.
I was just...
They're very old.
Be like in their late 80s,
I mean, 90s. First of all, their father, the Harbaugh's dad, looks just exactly like them. I mean, it is just... A spitting
image.
Is he
wearing like some khakis?
I mean, their level of excitement for their son winning that game in Michigan, obviously. The interview is just wonderful. Yeah, Jack Harbaugh and his wife.
You
got to go watch it because it's just what sports is all about. It's spectacular.
All right.
But yeah, I like Michigan in that game. But both games were amazing.
They were.
And thank goodness Florida State wasn't in them.
Oh my gosh. I pulled up this. Yes, no joke. I just pulled it up, and I cannot believe how much this looks like Harbaugh.
If you just put an age filter on either of the sons, it would instantly become Jack Harbaugh.
100%. Incredible work with your genes, Jack.
So are you guys all on the Michigan side? I want to see Michigan win it. I do.
Yeah, me too. I'm surprised that you don't have like some Pac-12 going out
Pac-12
loyalty.
Pac-12 is going out. That's why I don't care. I'm actually on the opposite side of that. I don't want to see the Pac-12 win.
Okay.
When it's not ASU, who will never win.
There's no divisions anymore, man.
There's no nothing but money. Just money.
Yep.
Was it Arch Manning's making $2.8 million in NIL money and Brock Purdy's making $800,000?
Yeah, life's
are
not
there
fair.
Are we going to start to see NFL players going back to college? Can we go backwards?
Oh, man.
If you have eligibility, you can, right?
Do you have...
No, once you
say, declare pro,
once
you're done.
You're in the draft, you're done.
Oh, darn. That would be awesome. Just Michigan being like...
What if an NIL deal comes to a guy that's about to walk on stage at the NFL? Can he turn around and run out the building?
I don't know.
He
probably
is left.
Not.
He is not accepting a third-round draft pick. All right, here's a good question, IG question. How would you handle payment if your co-manager didn't contribute all year and you ended up winning?
Well,
you want to know if you can have all the winnings, huh?
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, my gosh.
I would hope that you had some kind of understanding going into the season. Like, we're splitting.
You had a chance to boot this co-manager when you weren't the winner.
I would give, you know, here's what I'd do. Let's say you won $1,000.
Okay.
You give him $100.
Yeah. Okay. So 10%.
You know what I mean? You go, here you go. Thank you for... following my coattails.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Hey. Be generous.
Yeah, 10%.
Yeah.
Now, Jason, I did catch you on Twitter this morning. Somebody's asking what the etiquette is for kind of league dues and things of that nature, because a lot of people get stuck winning leagues, not collecting.
Yeah. If you're in a paid league, you really, really, really want to make sure you're set up. There's tons of places you could do it. But you set up and you collect dues at the beginning of the season and you put it in an escrow. Was it League Safe? Is that?
Yeah, I believe that's Charchian.
Yeah, so League Safe is one of, I'm sure, several options, but it just makes it to where there's no questions. There's no, life changed for this guy through the course of the season. He can't pay his dues. It's like when you start the league, you buy in.
Yeah.
And then it's in an escrow, and then there's no guilt. There's no awkward conversations at the end of the year, it just pays out.
And I think that's the fundamental thing. You just have to collect dues from everybody at the beginning, no matter what.
Yeah, and if you don't pay, you don't play.
Yeah, it's not complicated.
Yeah. I mean, it can be, because it's like when you're playing with your buddies and they're like, well, I can't do it right now. It's sorry, man.
Yeah, well, it's also complicated if the commish is the one just collecting the dues at the beginning. Yeah. And then pocketing it, and then being like, "Well, at the end of the year, I'll pay it out. I'll hold on to this. I won't spend
this.
I'll
keep it real safe."
I want you to try this whole not paying up front thing when you go to the NFL game, and you're at the front ticket. I'll pay you later.
Like, hey, where's
you don't get to watch?
I won. Where's the dues? Well, it was collected by Red in Las Vegas.
By Red. All right. We got one more. Is there one that you really want answered here, Brooks? You have a favorite? This question from IG. We'll go here. Dynasty one on CMC, since we talked about long-term value. Do I finally sell CMC this offseason, or do I ride it until the wheels fall off? Look, I I almost made a brutal mistake this last offseason in Dynasty. I tried to sell CMC. I was rejected, mercifully, by an idiot. And had I done it, I would have regretted it immensely. I don't even want to talk about it. Yeah, I remember it. I remember it, but it's so embarrassing at this point, because
it was Dameon Pierce.
It was like a first round pick and Dameon Pierce, or first and a second of Dameon Pierce, something like that. And
an instant loss for Andy had he made the trade.
I mean, it would have been devastating. Yeah. And at that time, it was like, oh, you know, who do I believe in right now? And I need to get some draft capital. Maybe I rebuild my team. And it would have been a mistake. And look, CMC has missed zero games since being a member of the 49ers. He's on the best offense with the best coach in the best situation with no perceivable age-related decline of any kind, with tons of money invested into him. There's no way CMC is not great next year.
He's got a great contract situation where you're going to rely on him. Anyone can get injured. CMC has been injured in the past. But if you want to rely on someone, he is a freakazoid when it comes to
physical fitness
health. There's a reason he's able to do what he's able to do. I mean, everyone obviously in the NFL's working out and strength training, and but he takes it to a different level that is why he's able to continue going. So I'm gonna hold on to him. I'm gonna ride him.
There was we had a new Dynasty episode drop today, and we do talk a little bit about running backs, and very frequently the advice is be willing to trade running backs a year early and just watch them be great on someone else's team. Christian McCaffrey is an outlier. I will let the fire burn down to the embers and then the ashes and nothing left of McCaffrey. Because
then you will have a ceremony.
Yeah. And I will
celebrating the championships.
Right. And because there could be multiple, like if Christian McCaffrey is anything close to this for 2 years, I mean, that's, what was the stat? Was over 50% of people in their league championship had Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Let the record show that the consensus, like all of the industry, had Dameon Pierce at 13 yes. in Dynasty yeah. rankings at running back. It is not what we think of it now. Okay.
The community was very excited for Dameon Pierce.
Wasn't Singletary a one-year deal?
That I don't remember, but I do. What I remember is the offseason, the hoodwinking that we all got from the Houston Texans, where they led us all to believe that not only is Dameon Pierce their guy, he is a three-down running back. Like, this is the Texans. This is on them.
Yeah, Singletary is a one-year deal.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today's show. We got tomorrow, starts of the week, matchup previews for Week 18.
We will do our best.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys will. I won't be here tomorrow. I'll be here on Friday, though. I'll be here on Friday to take a record-setting fourth wheel of Shane.
Oh, the quattro.
A record tying.
Oh, really? For myself?
Yeah. Remember we had the scepter with the four? We found it. So we'll do something special, especially since you guys are champs and I am a loser. Mm. But I won this one, so we'll see.
Great. Looking forward to it so much. Last chance to head to footclangiveaway.com. We're giving away a signed Travis Etienne jersey and a bunch of swag. And again, shopballers.com for your title gear. That'll do it for today's show. Thank you for joining us. back tomorrow with another one. Goodbye.
Have a good day, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.